Welcome to Tori Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu Perek Tetvav, Chapter 15. The previous chapter took place during a drought, when Yirmiyahu begged Hashem to forgive the people, to make their lives easier and lessen their suffering. Hashem told Yirmiyahu that the gates of prayer were closed. Only the gates of teshuva, repentance, were open. But Yirmiyahu does not stop. He keeps pressing Hashem with different reasons why he should help Bnei Yisrael. The parak begins with Hashem's response to Yirmiyahu's last plea at the end of chapter 14. Yirmiyahu had entreated Hashem to forgive the people for his own sake, even though they do not deserve it. In this first section, Hashem holds firm to the position that he cannot just forgive Bnei Yisrael if they don't deserve it. He says in Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Vayomer Hashem Eli, Hashem says to me, Im ya'amod Moshe u'shmu lefanai, ein nafshi el ha'am hazeh, shalach me'al panai ve'yitzu. Even if Moshe or Shmuel would stand before me and ask me to forgive them, I will not. My soul is not turned to this nation. They are going to be sent away from before my face, and they will leave Eretz Yisrael. Hashem's message to Yirmiyahu is a personal one. While Yirmiyahu has been praying over and over in the previous chapter and Hashem has been rejecting his tefillah, Hashem's message to Yirmiyahu is that it's not because he is not a great Navi that Hashem is not accepting his tefillah. Moshe and Shmuel, who had their prayers accepted many times, would also not be able to revoke this decree. The reason is, Ein nafshi el ha'am, my soul is not turned to the nation. As Rav Menachem Bula explains, my soul is not connected to their soul anymore. We have this language when Yehuda is begging Yosef not to jail Binyamin. He says about the connection between Binyamin and Yaakov, Nafsho kshura b'nafsho. Yaakov's soul is bound up with his sons Binyamin. He won't be able to bear to be separated from him. Hashem and Bnei Israel were like that once when they were wandering together through the desert, but no longer. Ein nafshi el ha'am hazeh. My soul is not towards the nation, and there isn't anything that Yirmiyahu can do with his own merit that can take the place of the rejection that Bnei Israel had for Hashem. The punishment must come, and as we saw in the earlier parak, that doesn't mean Hashem is rejecting them and doesn't care about him. It just means that they need to be punished, unless they do tshuva. The blame is placed on the shoulders of a much earlier king in verse 4. Hashem says to Yirmiyahu, V'natatim leza'ava l'chol mamlechot ha'aretz. I'm going to make them a horror before all the nations of the earth. Terrible things will happen to them. Why? Biglal Menashe ben Yechizkiyahu melech Yehuda al asher asab Yushalayim. Because of the deeds of Menashe, the king of Chizkiyahu. Now Menashe was the grandfather of Yoshiyahu. Menashe is the one who really started the massive movement towards idolatry in Israel. Yoshiyahu, his grandson, tried as hard as he could with Yirmiyahu at his side to rid the country of the idolatry that Menashe put forth. But Menashe's actions were too powerful. Menashe was king for 55 years. 55 years is enough to educate two generations of people. Yoshiyahu was king only for 31, and 10 of those, he had not yet discovered Hashem. He hadn't yet found the Sefer Torah. Those 21 years of Yoshiyahu were not enough to really eradicate idolatry. We know this from Yirmiyahu, Perek Bet, Perek Gimel. And further, Yirmiyahu talks about how the people are lying to Hashem. They follow Yoshiyahu's decrees externally, but internally in their hearts, they have not given up on their idolatry. Idolatry is almost similar to alcoholism. Once you do it, it's so hard to be able to really give it up. And that's why the blame is placed on Menashe. He got the people addicted to idolatry. And then Yoshiyahu, as much as he tried to get rid of it, it's so hard to get a nation who's addicted to something to stop doing it. And therefore Hashem says, I'm putting the blame on Menashe. It was his actions that started this whole cycle. It's his actions that Yirmiyahu is now dealing with much later in the future. And this is really the final rejection of Yirmiyahu's tefillah. And perhaps it is this final rejection that causes Yirmiyahu to start to contemplate his role as a Navi in the second section of the Perek. He thinks through the good and the bad of this extraordinary life that he's being made to lead as a prophet to a people who don't want to listen to him, as the bearer of God's message to a people who are constantly rejecting God in favor of idolatry. He laments in verse 10, "Oy li imi ki ilditani, I feel bad. What was to my mother that she had to give birth to a person like me, ish riv, ish madon, l'chol ha'aretz, a person who's in conflict with the whole land. Lo nasiti v'lo nasubi, kula makalaleni. And it's not because I've borrowed money, and it's not because I've lent money. Those would be normal reasons for people to hate me. There's always strife that comes up around borrowing and lending money. But that's not the reason, and yet everybody curses me." Every mother wants her child to grow up to be successful, to be happy, to have peace in their world, as well as inner peace. Yirmiyahu pities his mother for giving birth to such a child who's constantly at odds with people, hated by people, and always involved in bitter fighting. Referenced his mother seems reminiscent of the incident that happened in Anatot just a few prakim before. If you remember, the people of Anatot, when Yirmiyahu was running there for safety, tried to poison him and tried to kill him so that he would stop giving his nevuah. So here, it's not just the fact that unnamed people in the country hate Yirmiyahu, but actually his own relatives, his mother's other children, hate Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu pities his poor mother who has to see her children fighting, and like Yaakov Avinu, sees some of her children trying to kill another of her children. He continues his contemplation in verse 15, by turning to Hashem and saying to him, "Ata yadata Hashem, zachrini upikadeni, Hashem, you know, Hashem, remember me, Hashem, think of me, hina kem li me rodfai, Hashem, take vengeance on my enemies, ala ercha pecha tikacheni, don't prolong your anger and therefore take me, da se'eti alecha cherpa, you should know how much degradation I carry for you." Yirmiyahu seems to be referring here to what happened to him in Anatot, where he asked Hashem to avenge him before his enemies, to avenge the people who tried to hurt him. And Hashem responded, no, he will not avenge them during Yirmiyahu's lifetime. Yirmiyahu says to him, "Al la'erch apecha tichcheni, don't in prolonging your anger hurt me." We know that one of the Yud Gimel Midot, one of the 13 attributes of God, is that he is slow to anger. Yirmiyahu says to Hashem, you're slow to anger, and that's great for the people who sin, but what about me? The fact that you're slow to anger means you don't defend me against people who try to hurt me. So in your slowness to anger, you end up hurting me. This thinking about his relationship with God and his relationship with the people causes Yirmiyahu to contemplate how he was chosen in the first place and how he's been doing so far. He starts to think about his life. And he says in the next verse 16, "Nimtzu'u devarecha v'ochlim, your words were found and I ate them. V'hi devarcha li l'sason u'l'simcha levavi, ki nekra shimcha alai Hashem Elokei Tzvakot. Your words were the happiness and the joy of my heart, because your name was called on me, Hashem." Yirmiyahu is reflecting now on his chosenness. Listen to the words. Your words were found and I ate them. Yirmiyahu is referring here to chapter 1 where Hashem put the words of Nevuah in his mouth. And he says, these words were the happiness of my life. Yes, notice the passive form where he says, the words were found. I didn't go look for them. You chose me. I didn't want this job. But here I am, and the fact that I am able to eat your words, I'm able to have your words, your nevuah inside me, is the joy of my life. Your name is called on me. We're so close, Hashem. Yirmiyahu recognizes how wonderful and extraordinary his life is because he can be so close to Hashem to even eat his words, such a physical action describing something that's so spiritual. They're so close that it's as if he was able to eat him. But then in the next pasuk, he turns and he says, well, because of that, lo yashavti besod mesachakim ve'el oz. I'm never able to sit among people who are just laughing in secret. They're sharing secrets together. They're telling jokes. I can't just be happy. I can't just be ordinary. I can't just be normal. Mepnei yadcha, because of your hand, badad yashavti. I'm always alone. Nobody wants to be with me, ki za'am milatani, because you filled me with anger. Now, instead of referring to his nevuah, his prophecy, as sason and simchat levavi, the words of his prophecy are anger. I am filled with anger because I'm filled with your prophecy of anger. I always have to be angry with people. I always have to be critical, and therefore I can't have friends. I'm extraordinary, and therefore I can't have the joy of an ordinary life. I have to only be separate from people. Yirmiyahu then raises in the next pasuk in Yudchet 18, he raises his level of criticism of Hashem. And he says, Lama haya ke'evi netzach umakati anasha. Why is my pain last so long? Ma'ana hirapei, I can't heal it. Hayo tieli kamoch sav. You are like a disappointment to me, Hashem. Mayim lo ne'emanu. You are water that can't be trusted. We know that Yirmiyahu has pushed back against Hashem in the past. He did it in chapter 12 in his philosophical discussion about why good things happen to bad people. And he did it again in the previous parak when Hashem told him not to pray. And Yirmiyahu did anyway, three times. However, here the tone of what Yirmiyahu is saying changes. He's not using the format of chapter 12, Sadikata Hashem, Hashem, you are righteous, ki ariv elecha, and now I'm going to say something against you. Rather, he's calling Hashem a disappointment, water that can't be trusted. With this statement, Yirmiyahu's playing on one of his earlier metaphors in Perek Bet that he used to describe the futility of idolatry. Yirmiyahu had said that idols were like broken cisterns that can't hold any water, while Hashem is a makor mayim chayim, source of flowing water. Calling Hashem water that can't be trusted uproots this earlier metaphor, whose whole purpose was to get Bnei Yisrael to trust in Hashem. We can see Yirmiyahu's frustration with his mission. Did Hashem not fulfill his promise to Yirmiyahu? Seems like he did. In Perek Aleph, Hashem told Yirmiyahu, "V'nilchamu elecha v'lo yachlu lach." They will fight against you and they will not consume you. Literally, this has been fulfilled. The people did fight against Yirmiyahu, and despite trying hard, they haven't yet been able to physically wipe him out. But there has been a lot of emotional trauma in his life that Yirmiyahu wants to reckon with. Just because he is alive does not mean that they haven't vanquished him in some way. And he is pushing Hashem to acknowledge that although he is alive, he is not saved. We wonder, what will be Hashem's reaction to this? Hashem always encourages Yirmiyahu. Will he allow him to speak this way as well? Hashem's answer in the next pasuk, verse 19, is cryptic. Lachein ko amar Hashem, im tashuv va'ashivcha lefanai ta'amod. If you return and I will return you, then you can stand before me. What does this mean? The Radak says that this means Hashem is saying to Yirmiyahu, you have to do teshuva. You have to repent for what you said. You can't talk to Hashem like that. And if you do, I will accept your teshuva and you can be a Navi before me. The Malbim reads the pasuk differently. The Malbim reads this pasuk as totally encouragement. Yirmiyahu, you have such a wonderful job. You can get the people to do teshuva. And if you do, you can stand before me forever. So the debate between the Radak and the Malbim shows, can Yirmiyahu speak this way to Hashem? Will Hashem continue encouraging Yirmiyahu? Radak says, no, there are limits. And Malbim says, yes, Hashem will always give Yirmiyahu encouragement. Yirmiyahu can speak to Hashem about anything that he's feeling. The parak ends with a reiteration of the promise that Hashem gave Yirmiyahu in the beginning of the Sefer. U'nitaticha la'am hazeh l'choma nechoshech. I'm going to make you a strong iron wall against the people. They will fight against you, but they will not consume you. Because I am with you to save you. Nu'um Hashem, says God. Yirmiyahu is frustrated and Hashem will help him. It is hard to be a prophet, hard to always stand against people, to not have friends, to constantly criticize, but it is of paramount importance. In order for the nation to have a chance, they must do tshuva. No one can pray for them. They can only fix themselves. Yirmiyahu must become iron walls, not just so that they won't kill him, but so that he does not give up on them either. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Zvi Yosef.